Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the promo code FILTHYCASUALS for $3 off any new subscription today.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and hell of a show for you this evening. We've got, sitting across from me, Ben Vanell.
G'day, Steve Zissou. It's nice to be here.
A thrilling reference for the people listening at home. And also Adam Knox.
G'day, tip of a penis, orange, but orange.
That's red.
He's wearing a beanie. Hey, man.
I've had the audacity to wear a red beanie to the record this evening.
I thought it was orange. I'm always bragging about how I don't see colour, and now I've proved it.
Quick update. On some stuff we mentioned last week, I wanted to check in on the bare naked ladies scale.
Yes.
On a couple of things I talked about last week. Slime Sun, a game that I gave, I believe, 3.5 melons on the Comifrutera scale too.
Yes.
Lights off on that one. Oh. Haven't played it again.
If someone didn't listen to last week's episode.
Good. Yeah. That riff about the beanie has already turned them off, so it's fine at this point.
I skipped 1 week of this podcast and the English language changes.
And it's been terrible.
Yeah. How long did you skip of the podcast?
Oh, shit.
Cave Story, lights very much on for that one.
Yeah, still me too.
Yep. Played it in bed until about 2 a.m. last night.
Oh, very nice.
Really good stuff.
Lights off on Tacoma, but just because I haven't had the time. I'm still really interested in it.
And Splatoon 2, lights on. Lights very much on.
Yep.
The lights were off for a long time because I didn't have internet while I was traveling, but now I'm back and I'm gradually leveling up and getting all the new weapons and stuff, and so it is lights on. Yep. Where are you at with Splatoon 2? Are you still playing it?
Yes, but I refuse to participate in this particular...
So that's a lights on.
It
See,
is...
As we predicted, the listeners love the new scale.
Yeah.
You're the only one who's left behind and not into this. Why don't you just get on it? Life is going to be so much easier for you if you'll just get on board with
Knox,
it.
Knox, if you don't like it now, give it a couple of days.
You're making obvious why it is that my
he can't
throat
even
started
formulate
to close
it.
Up.
Yeah. Lost for words. I've never seen him like this.
Someone said, a listener said, they could feel Knox's like discomfort through the microphones.
Yes.
I believe that will be happening again.
I'm glad I actually listened back to the episode and I heard myself making sure to stress that it wasn't a bit.
Yeah.
That he actually was angry, and I'm glad that the listeners that came through in the audio without me even needing to say it.
Anyway, it's a brand new week in a brand new world, and we've got a brand new attitude, so we can forget about the mistakes of the past and move on to the brilliant, beautiful future that we're going to create.
Well, we've got a bit of news to get to off the top of the show. First of all, this week, Nintendo are being sued by a little no-name company who've thought they're going to – who've really felt like – I think they reckon they're going to David and Goliath this one.
Filthy Casuals Incorporated, suing Nintendo
for eating up so much of our lives. So a company that I had never heard of that make – what do they make? They make iPad accessories and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, peripherals and, mainly that kind of stuff. Tablet accessories.
So they've come out and they've claimed that the Joy-Con and the way that they detach from the Switch encroaches. Is that the correct word?
Absolutely.
On their copyright, on their patent. Patent. So it remains to be seen if anything will come of this or whether this will... Because I saw this going around a lot on Twitter. This is like it's an interesting story when someone comes out. Because if it pans out, I mean, it could be that would be the most Curb Your Enthusiasm ending to Nintendo's year, where they finally have some success, they get back on top, and then they go bankrupt because they've unknowingly ripped off a patent.
Game Vice.
Yeah, Game Vice.
Is the name of the company.
Yeah, these stories come up every now and then. They're always on like a shittier news service, in like a little human interest section, and I just always go, they're not going to win.
Yeah.
Like, no, Nintendo's going to win. Absolutely, they're going to win.
But generally, it's like, I think the way these things always work, or the thing they're going for, is a little bit of a payoff.
Yeah.
Because that's just easier for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is this, like, this seems like is this a patent troll thing, or is this...
A little bit.
You know, like, that's
when you've got something
that's...
even close. Like, when you remember when the PS3 came out, how the controller didn't have... If you remember when the PS3 came out, man, you weren't there. The controller didn't have rumble in it. And Sony was going like, oh, man, it's because the rumble messes with the motion control, and the motion control is it's the most beautiful technology ever.
Yeah.
It's because they were in a similar situation over the rumble technology was the real reason. That's why, like, a year later, they were like, rumble's back, baby.
Yeah. Right. What do you mean? They were getting sued or they...
Someone was claiming that the way that their rumble in their controllers worked was their...
Right.
And so, I think this basically happens anytime anything comes out and is successful. Someone comes out of the woodwork and goes, that was me.
Yeah. This one, the Game Vice one, it did come out in 2013.
Mm.
And it is two controllers on either side of a tablet.
Mm.
So I can see why they've done it.
So why not go after them as soon as they put that launch video out of the Switch?
Also, like, that stuff's always happened. Like, the original Game Boy had attachments like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's the like Atari Lynx looked like that. It was it's not a crazy new thing that they've done.
Yeah.
The idea of a clip.
Yeah. I kind of do it would suck, but I kind of do like the idea that this is the one that sticks. Do you know what I mean? Like, you always read these stories and, like, I agree with you. You go, well, nothing more is going to come of this. But every now and then, like, one of them could take, surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was called the WikiPad.
Yes.
That's a terrible name. And it looks more, it's like a U shape and the iPad slots into the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
right.
It doesn't really look like the Switch things. It's more like... a different thing.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion.
I think their lawsuit's going to go great.
I think these guys have made a rod for their own backs because now they just look like pricks.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to get any traction.
I don't think that
And also they've damaged their brand.
I'm pretty sure that Game Vice, the inventors of the WikiPad, aren't worried about their brand at this point.
Is Wikipedia going to sue them over the name?
Exactly. The WikiPad.
Yeah.
I think Wiki is just open slather though, isn't it? Because like WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And I always thought WikiLeaks, when it first, not always, for a brief moment of time.
Yes.
I thought WikiLeaks was like leaks, because leak in my head only really had a connotation to
a
video
vegetable?
Game news.
Oh, okay.
Or a vegetable. Look at me. I don't know.
Kiss?
Even pumpkin doesn't mean vegetable to me. But like when you'd hear a leak from a movie or like a game would be leaked early or something like that. So I remember going to WikiLeaks and being like, oh, I'm going to get to see the new Zelda or something early. It's like, oh, blah, 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 Syria. And I was real disappointed.
Mm.
Right.
I'm not a big news
I don't know
man.
How to respond to that story.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for a response. I'm just looking to get it out there.
If only a group could edit that contribution.
Well, what are they called? Game Vice. I got some do's and don'ts for you.
Yep.
Don't sue Nintendo. Do shut the fuck up. So there you go. You know, like the magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Game. Not sure
the
how
magazine to... Vice.
Right. I'm
you
not
know
sure.
That section that they haven't had in there for about 5 years now.
Not sure how to respond to that.
Well, I wasn't looking for a response. I was just looking to get it out there. The end. You had some news about Dota.
Well, you know, the world has some news. I'm just a vessel through which it pours.
And this is Kanye West's mother, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
What's happened to that fucking game he was making? Remember like 3 years ago at Was it E3 or was it... No, was it one of his fashion shows where you went, guess what, I'm making shoes and a new album and a video game where you play as my dead mum in
heaven. She's got angel wings and she's flying up through the sky. Yeah.
It's not like Kanye West to rapidly change direction almost unpredictably.
What comes out first, Death Stranding or the dead Kanye West mum game?
Maybe it is Death Stranding.
Yeah, maybe the Kanye West dead mum game, and God, I hope it's actually called that, is hidden as a little bonus in Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, you know in Donkey Kong 64 how you can go and play like an arcade cabinet of the original Donkey Kong?
It's no bonus. It is the entire parody of the thing. Great. Kojima came to... Kojima, didn't he meet Kanye at some point?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah,
surely I feel like I've seen someone lose their mind about that because it's two fucking weirdos meeting.
Our friend Angus Truscott, probably.
I think that is exactly
would have done a big cummy if that happened.
Yeah. I've got such a soft spot. Kojima's like one of the only people I can think of. Actually, no, there are a few of them that who is like legitimately a superstar in his own right in the field that he works in, who still gets unashamedly excited about loving other things that come out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, Kanye West is also like that, kind of. Like, he often...
Do you reckon?
Yeah. He'll often pick up on one thing and tweet about it, and then it becomes really
successful. But even just Kojima will get to meet a director at an event and go bananas over it on Twitter, which you don't really see, other than people just going, oh, hey, this other movie is really good.
Yeah.
You don't see, like, he froths over just getting, like, the soundtrack to a movie that, like, he'll put up photos like, oh, the vinyl of this finally came in the mail. Like, he kind of is happy to wear his fanboydom on his sleeve, which I guess is also reflected in the games that he makes.
Fanboydom? Yeah. I barely know him. I didn't expect a response to that. I just wanted to put it out.
We've got to start giving each other more. It's making too much dead air.
It's hard. Sometimes it's just really hard.
Speaking of hard, Dota 2 is a hard game to care about, but there was a big...
The Maestro.
That's not fair because I've never, ever, ever tried it.
And it's extremely popular.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That and League of Legends are both so unapproachable, though.
Yeah.
In the same way that fucking volleyball is the first sport I thought of, that I wouldn't just go and start trying to play volleyball one day.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they are closer to a sport.
I think the idea of you just one day deciding to try and play any sport is weird.
It's ludicrous, which is the point that I'm trying to make here.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Ludicrous, great rapper.
Yeah.
Also, unapproachable.
What's that based on? He could be friendly, you don't
just
know.
Just a vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he keeps telling me to move out the way. I mean... What am I supposed to
calling
think?
Me the B word?
Does he at least does he say it politely or is he rude about it?
He's pretty rude, but God not damn. Too rude.
Okay,
yeah, PG rude.
Well, it's called the International, and they had their big thing, and like, yeah,
disrespect.
Disrespect to anybody who does like these games, you fucking losers. But the point, no, I'm kidding. The interesting thing about this was the top player, whose name I believe is Dendy. Not his real name, that's his like Dota name, which is something that those games need to move past before they're going to be like, because you know how they're like, it's on ESPN now.
Mm. But doesn't it? Everything has that, don't every esports has you're competing under like a game.
Yeah, I think that's the point. Yeah.
All of those things need to move past.
Yeah, okay.
Real sports. Imagine if Michael Jordan had been like XX DJ Fuckwit.
I XX. Already like it heaps more. Already like it heaps
XX
more.
XX DJ Fuckwit goes up for a 2-pointer.
No, I'm okay with
that.
That's
what they say in basketball commentary, right?
It sounds kind of silly, but I also think that's where it's come from, is you playing online and you have the tags. To me, it's more disingenuous for it to all of a sudden be, oh, and here he is representing Korea, Dan Smith.
I don't think he's representing Korea.
I wish I had not gotten a response to that one. I was really hoping I was going to get away with that.
But so he's like the widely accepted as the top player. He's the Gary Kasparov, if you will, of Dota.
Yeah,
and Gary Sinise. This is Dendy.
Yeah.
So he's visited Australia and he's loved that little chain of art house cinemas that we have. He got a great chalk top from there and he thought, you know what, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to call myself this when I play online.
Yeah.
Dendy Cinemas.
Are they, right. No, come on. I was thinking that was a Garry Kasparov thing.
No. His full user tag is Dendy Cinemas Brighton.
His arch nemesis, the Palace.
Get on board.
This is the most obscure riff we've ever done.
Yes,
suburban-based Melbourne cinema chains. Art house Melbourne cinema chains.
Honestly, these obscure cinema references aren't really my jam factory. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that he's
obscure. That's like the biggest one in the city.
It's obscure for someone from Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. he got beaten by an AI.
Mm-hmm.
AI stands for awesome, intelligent person.
Oh, so God, not
I could have
you.
Thought of it better. And even me trying to think of the second letter, I just used the letter that it is.
Yeah.
But he got beaten by a computer, which...
Yeah. That's pretty huge.
Yeah. Well, because when did that happen to Garry Kasparov? That's why I mentioned him.
What was that, the 80s or something?
Deep Blue?
Deep Blue.
Yeah, I don't know, early 90s maybe.
Yeah.
Before I was old enough to... care about chess.
Yeah.
What age did you start caring about chess?
Negative 31. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting.
That's pretty amazing, yeah. Mm. I still think, does the AI have a name? Because I've always thought that's one of the, first of all, a man being beaten by chess at a machine. That's cool.
Yep.
The fact that they call it Deep Blue.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a cool name for a nerd robot that plays chess.
Totally.
Does this, did they give this AI any kind of name or
so
is it just?
I'm looking at this now. I think it's called OpenAI.
Mm.
And it looks like it played itself for 2 weeks, sort of teaching itself how to play this game.
Oh, wow.
So it's, I think, I might have this a little bit wrong, but it's one of those, what do you call it? Machine learning. What are they called?
Machine learning.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. you nailed it.
I think it might have been one of them as well.
Yeah, right.
I'm actually reading
These
up a bit.
These things are fucking spooky.
I'm reading up a bit more about it here. It says right now it's at my house fucking my wife.
Yeah, they learn quick.
Seems weird.
Yeah, they learn what they can get away with.
It's gone mad.
It spent 2 weeks fucking itself first.
That'd be so funny if Skynet happens.
Skynet, yeah. It kills some of us and then the final most bone-chilling phase of its plan, it goes and starts fucking all of our wives.
Oh.
No!
The ultimate indignity. We're all cucks.
Anyway, I'm sure there's three people that listen to this who play Dota who are thrilled that we've given it the trademark filthy casual spin.
I really want to try that game out one day, but I'm spooked by it.
Do you have the same concern that you do about going back to World of Warcraft where it's like, well, this could be everything now.
Yes,
this could be my life.
Or buying one amiibo or basic like heroin, anything that that a little bit gets you hooked.
Yeah.
I want to avoid that because I've had it happen with enough things.
Yep.
You should see my sneaker collection.
Okay.
What was the last thing that you got really hooked on where you were like, I got to pull myself out of this?
Probably alcohol.
Alcohol is the answer. But if you want like
so
a fun one.
So I think we'd have fun with this.
Yeah. But I heard Ben fucking going for it because he doesn't have any social awareness.
And I have a beer in my hand.
It would be like...
I'm trying to think of mine as well, but I don't have a super... I don't get hooked into stuff in that same way, but I did get into... I think we've talked about it on this before, that dumb cookie clicker game.
Oh, yeah.
Those games where you're just hitting the screen as hard as you can. That was one where I had to go, it's time to walk away.
Yeah, right. Honestly, I have this with everything that I am actually into. Like, I get obsessed with it, but then I just burn out after a while because I do play it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, there was... Like, basically high school was when I was doing that kind of stuff. Like, there was, like, text-based multi-user dungeon games I used to play.
Wow.
I used to play a fucking lot. So, yeah, I definitely have the same tendency, but I just kind of... I just give myself a bunch of other things to do so I can't fall into that trap.
Yeah, right. I think last thing I deliberately went, okay, I'm deleting this and not doing it anymore, was Hearthstone.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was on the phone and it was just a thing where I would just go like, okay, one game before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then would get 3 or 4 hours less sleep than normal.
Yeah.
Which was fucking, when you're sleeping 4 hours, that's a lot less sleep to get.
Yeah.
I had a good, there was maybe a solid month of hardcore Super Mario Run. When that first came out.
Yeah, right.
I got really, really hooked on that.
Yeah, right.
On doing the verse thing where you'd play against people and get the coin.
The Toad. Right. Toad.
That's
toad.
Such a rally.
Yeah, Toad Rally. Because winning felt so good, so it was just like... And I was always trying to get myself to a certain level of coins. So you lose some and you go back. Yeah, and then I'm like, now I need to win a couple to build that back up. And then that starts feeling good. So it's like, well, I'll just keep doing this until it stops feeling good. Oh, I've lost again. Well, I want to go out on a high. So I'll do one more until I win and then go to bed. And then it's just that cycle.
For a game that seemed so benign and like was kind of unpopular too, that's a funny one to like.
Mm.
Really like, unpopular. Yeah, it made a lot less money that they thought. Probably
it's like getting addicted to like Flintstones chewable vitamins. Or like, technically,
still,
it's a drug.
Yeah. Probably still did make heaps, but I think they estimated at a way higher level.
Yeah, I wonder how that's changed because it's been a long time since they've said anything about like the Animal
still
Crossing
updating
one.
It.
Mm.
No, but like how they've how it's changed
the plans. Model. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon. Surely there'll be some kind of announcement about that coming.
There was meant to be months ago. I feel
soon.
I feel like they may have pivoted.
Yeah. Really? You reckon it's off the table?
I reckon it's on the table in a bigger way. I reckon they're going full Animal Crossing game okay. with it, maybe. It's on oh, the bigger yeah. table.
Yeah, that would right. be cool.
Speaking of like mobile games and Hearthstone and stuff, that was the other Dota thing, is that Valve were like, we're going to announce a new game.
Mm.
And so everyone went, stupidly, it's Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
She's coming back. And then, yeah, it was a Dota card game thing, like in the vein of Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be good.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
so you want a response to that, or you didn't want a response to that?
just go, huh? There you go.
Great.
A video games podcast where the hosts have to verbally announce whether they want a response to the things they're saying. yeah, okay, I can see that.
I feel like we're trying out a camera.
Oh yeah,
to film this podcast.
I've completely forgot about it. To be
yeah,
honest,
yeah, well, that's the goal.
It's
isn't
all
it?
I've been thinking. About. I've been mugging towards it.
Have you really? Now that's interesting.
You also know we're not releasing that video.
Yeah. No, we're not. So no one's ever going to see it except for me. But it's when it's on, I start clowning.
I dare say I don't think even you will see it.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to ever bother to access the video yeah. footage off that camera and have a look.
I hate yeah. looking at video of myself.
Who
yeah.
doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I hate looking at video of me. Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone. But yeah, that's all the Dota
last time
stuff.
I looked at video of you, my fucking head turned to stone.
Okay.
You're Medusa.
Yeah, why though?
You know how when you watch just a video of Medusa?
Just my head though. The rest of my body I was free to walk around, but my head was
the last time.
No,
I understand
for
that.
For 24 hours.
I understand the reference.
The last time I watched a video footage of Nox, my dick turned to stone. All right, now let's move on. I feel like this Dota card game, like it'll be the same thing that Dota is appealing to, like it's that same kind of like picking characters and battling, and it's like, well, yeah, you've picked the perfect target market for this.
I guess so.
Which is not me, to be fair.
And also, like the people who play Dota are very ready to show their appreciation for something in the form of microtransaction stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm assuming, what their real reason for doing this is.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, good on them. And if you like that stuff, when people like those games, they really fucking get into them.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
So I think there's something to it. I would never discount that there's something to it.
Was it Ben Russell who was saying he got into Gwent? Mm. Like, really into... No, I think it might have been Greg Larson.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, who? It's like, well, it's just a card game, but it's really addictive.
Yeah.
And Hearthstone is good.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things are all like...
Magic the Gathering, extremely popular.
Yeah.
They're good
games. It's weird that they haven't fucking made one.
Yeah.
That they... I mean, I guess they're still trying to make people buy the actual things, but...
Yeah.
Maybe they just figure, yeah, it'll cut into... But you're right, yeah. That is bizarre that there's not at least some
of... The thing that it's all modeled on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through a bit of a magic phase in maybe year 10. Yeah.
I've never gone in.
Yeah. I mean, like most people, I was deep into the Pokemon card game.
Yeah.
And did that for a bit and then kind of got a bit of a whiff of magic. I had a kid at my school who played it and sort of thought, you know, you kind of go, I guess I should transition into this because it's kind of like it's kind of big boy Pokemon cards,
and
you know, I'm 14, I'm basically an adult now, and yeah, I think I remembered, but by the time it was one of those things where by the time I came along to it, it's so far along and there's so much to it that it's very, very intimidating, and I was kind of always interested in like going along to those tournaments, like because it, you know, at that age where there wasn't really much internet yet, so just even being at a card store and them going, hey, you know this thing that you're into that you know one other person at your school is into, there's going to be 20 strangers here playing it on Saturday, was like, oh, that's cool,
yeah.
And then you go along and you're like, this is actually real scary and I don't know if I really want to be here or take any of these people on.
That's what happened when I was into Warhammer,
right?
It was like me and like all of my schoolmates were into it. But then you'd go to the shop and it's a bunch of like weird 17-year-old dudes who are like all smell really bad and they're all looming over you and you're like, I just want to buy my little things and go home.
Mm, right.
That's a similar experience to what I had when I got really into competitive breakdancing. I'd go along and...
I was
have
trying
my
to
magic cards and everyone would go, get out of here, kid.
I was trying to kind of formulate a joke where it was like Ben saying he's scared of 17-year-olds and go, oh, yeah, and what was 2016 like for you?
Oh.
That would be funny. He's 29 years old and getting spooked by 17-year-olds.
Yeah. I got scared
and
of a pack of
I'll tell you
youths.
What, I would have been expecting a response to that.
I got scared by a pack of youths the other day.
Really? Yeah?
They were at a station
And I was
radio station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They was the host, the new host of Breakfast on Triple J. I was like, oh no.
I mean, they're from Adelaide. They're scary looking kids.
Why did they get it?
Scared of all the opportunities that they're getting instead of me. It's terrifying.
I'm scared of Father Time putting his icy claw on my shoulder.
I'm scared of the music they play. I don't get it. It signals a shift.
It's three exclamation marks. Why is it chick chick chick? Doesn't make any sense. Well, also, they've been around for years.
That's a really outdated reference.
They're not being played on Triple J.
They're playing at Meredith, and I was going through the lineup of Meredith and didn't recognize any of the names and couldn't remember any except for the old one that I already knew. Yeah.
Bro, are you going to go?
Bro, it's like $400, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I don't know if I'm going to go, bro.
Okay. We make $800 a day each from this podcast. People don't know that, but like, this is doing really well. So what do you care? That's half a day's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you work. Oh, whatever.
You work hard, you don't play hard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my philosophy.
Work hard, play soft.
You just work hard until you die.
I go to that festival every year and I love it. Yeah. And you've been a bunch. But you stopped. I mean, I think we've bumped into each other there once when we didn't really know each other. Yeah. Mm. And so since we've become friends, you haven't been when I've been there. Huh. And I just.
Weird.
Yeah. Now that I'm saying it out loud. Wow, just my presence there and the chance that you might run into me has turned you off a whole festival.
But it's also since you became friends. No, surely you'd want to see it.
Literally just that I'm out of touch with music now. In such a way that, like...
Yeah, but what about the drugs,
hey man? You don't... If I want it, I'll think I am at a festival, man. I'll take him anywhere, bro.
Literally a weird kind of, like, getting older complaint of, like, I just don't know what the cool drugs are anymore. Like, man, I'm so out of touch.
Who's Molly?
Literally the only reason I would go to Meredith is to do drugs. I don't see the appeal.
Of music?
Yeah.
You fucking robot.
Of live music. Just listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah, that's what a robot would say.
Yeah, it is what a robot would say.
Try pretending to be human.
That's what the algorithm in Spotify would say. Yeah. Just listen to me.
My name is Deep Blue.
Also in the vein of Dota-y kind of game strategy, StarCraft Remastered is coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably not going to play it. The remastered one, but
no,
I'm happy to bump that up to saying that we are definitely not going to play it.
Okay, officially, but StarCraft is a good game, and I just thought it warranted a mention. That's coming out this week.
Yep.
Again, I'm sure there's some people listening out there whose little dickies are
or vaginas,
whose dicks are hard, or vaginas are just dripping wet right now.
Yep.
Over the
that's
prospect.
Made it so much more inclusive. Thanks, Tommy. Now welcome. I feel way better about that sentence.
You're welcome, Ally Adam. As I was saying, you know, again, one of those things. Hey, yeah. I wish we could contribute to the conversation about it in some way.
Yep.
But
it looks good. They've said they're keeping it exactly the same as the old, in the vein of Crash.
Great.
It's exactly the same as
the movie.
The movie Crash. They've changed the game a lot.
Still not deserving of the Best Picture Oscar, though.
They've redone all the voice work and stuff, and I remember the single player of that being pretty good.
Yeah, I loved it when I played
it.
Yeah.
I really liked the one in StarCraft 2 as well.
Yeah.
If you've never played it, I reckon give it a chance. As you will know from our 10 bloody games to play before you die,
premium
episode on Bandcamp, available now.
Yeah.
It didn't get in? It did get in.
I think we brought it up. I can't remember.
It was in there at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like maybe it didn't make the cut.
No, but it's in the conversation and you'll have to find out by listening.
Very great.
Cha-ching!
Yes, a reminder that we have premium episodes where we focus on a series of games that go for a bit longer than this. You can find them on, what is the URL?
Filthycasuals.bandcamp.com.
No, I think it's filthycasualspodcast.bandcamp.com. You can find out on filthycasualspodcast.com.au.
Yeah.
People, the one thing I can
by
remember.
The way, people still convinced this is a bit that we do, us not being able to remember any of our...
As if it's just unimaginable that we'd be so unprofessional.
I think that's what it is. There's no way three people can be this dumb.
We can't remember like four things.
Exactly.
It is filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Great.
So we've done the GTA series, the Zelda series, the Mario games up until I think they go 3D, and 10 games to play before you die.
And the history of consoles.
And the history of console launches.
Yeah.
Fuck, we've done a bunch.
Yeah.
The console launches one goes for like 3 hours or something.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It was like
four. And we are doing another one very soon. So keep an eye on that.
let's just say we'll be covering some uncharted territory.
That's right.
Look, the plebiscite. Yeah. We're going in deep. We're going to spend 4 hours chatting about it.
Yep. Cool.
So also, we should point out, by the way, by the time this comes out, Sonic Mania will be out.
Yeah.
But we're recording this a couple of days early. So I think actually like right before it comes out. So we haven't had a chance to play it yet. However, I thought this was funny. The game, in inverted commas, broke street date, which is a phrase you hear a lot when, something will be meant to be out on the 15th and, you know, JB Hi-Fi get it on the 13th and they go, you know what, fuck this.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there now and see what happens.
Yep.
I remember getting very excited when, like, there'd be something I'd be really looking forward to and someone would message in a group and go, fuck the JB on Chapel Street. They're just selling it.
Yeah.
They're just selling it like absolute madmen. Very exciting. It doesn't really seem to happen much
anymore. It was cool. It felt like being in the future.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm sure I've mentioned this. The only game I've bought that's broken street date was Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
And I was like, I was on, you know, forums in every day leading up, just like, fucking come on, where's it going to be? And then, yeah, I just did it.
These were just like, these were like LG repair forums and stuff. You just jumping in going, where is it?
It was Australian Rules Football Forum.
On whirlpool.net?
Literally, yes.
Really?
Whirlpool, yep.
Right.
Whirlpool
what is
where
that
I found
forum? Because any time I look up at like a tech, like a tech query with just like a random thing in my house, if I Google it,
there
always seems to be a discussion about it on Whirlpool and I can't work out
what
the fuck is this forum where people are just going, anyway, here's the official washing machine thread.
Yes, yeah,
it's
totally.
Telstra's one. If
is it really?
If you were with Telstra's internet,
oh,
it's like
Big
sent
Pond.
You there.
Yeah,
and that's why half the answers are wrong and from 2011 is because most of the people in there are just people who their that's computer has automatically pointed them there.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Can we shut down our Facebook and all our correspondents and just have all the discussion of this show take place in a forum on whirlpool.net?
It's fucking crazy how
it's also,
wrong answers there are.
It's also like, is this mattress any good? And then 100 comments.
Yes.
Or just someone going like, what should I name my dog? And I'm like, fucking you choose. What kind of dog?
You choose. Great name.
You choose. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's my dog's name, like, comment, and subscribe.
That is one of those things that I've never brought up to anyone else because I've just thought, this is so weird and specific. I must have been the only one who's had this experience.
Oh,
so it is very gratifying to know that that's a common
it's
perception.
It's fucking
about
annoying as well because you look for it, you have a problem, you Google it, and someone has just asked the same question in May of 2011.
Yes.
And then someone else has gone, I don't know, mate, how about you Google it?
Yeah,
how
totally.
How about you improve your Google foo?
Yeah, this happened to me, but this is probably not relevant. And also, I just want to talk to someone.
Fuck that shit when someone says, I've got this exact same problem that you're going to have 6 years in the future.
Yeah.
No one else posts and they just write, fixed it, never mind.
Yes.
Fuck you, how did you fix it?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, I'm going in. Whirlpool forums. All right. We should make this a regular segment. Fuck, even the layout of it is bad.
Oh, it's so old.
And a thing on the left telling you what the local time is. Who the fuck needs that?
Well, man, I don't want to look at the bottom right of the screen. I want to look at the left.
There are over 780,000 registered members on this thing.
Fuck.
Life, that's heaps.
Yeah.
Finance. Companies, connections, entertainment.
Wait, life? Surely all of them fit into that category.
What's the most boring bit I can go into?
Is there a segment about this podcast?
Yeah, Whirlpool itself. Here we go. All right, anyway. So, yeah, it's Broken Street Date. Which,
Sonic
Mania. It seems like there was a lot of sand where that just stopped happening. Like, I guess developers or companies must have started really cracking down on that sort
I think
of stuff.
Part of what happened as well, this is just a guess, but the fact that retail is not needed by companies anymore.
Right.
They're probably a little more careful about it because their relationships are probably a bit more tense with the publishers now.
Yeah.
Possibly, now that retail is less of a big factor.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing. I always just assumed it was a store fucking up, but I guess they probably would have done it deliberately if they didn't care
absolutely.
Because it'd be like everyone's going to flock to their one.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely,
But so what happened, so this is a digital-only game, so that's funny that it's managed to do this because you could buy Sega were making a collector's edition box set that has like a Sonic statue in it and like a replica cartridge, but there's no actual game in there. It's just a download code. And so Amazon shipped out a bunch of the pre-orders early.
Someone downloaded that.
And so a bunch of people just got their codes in the mail in the box, you know, like a week before they were meant to get them. So Amazon
it's
kind of fucked up.
Torrent sites and shit now, I'm assuming, is what's happened.
No, I think it's just people, you know, people had paid for this collector's edition copy that has a code for the game, like a download code.
Yeah. It is going to be on Torrent. Like,
Sorry. It's only leaked on the Switch because Xbox and PS4 have a thing where even if you've got the code, you can't access it until that date.
Yeah, yeah. You can preload it, but you can't actually
Which Nintendo
get it.
Doesn't have. So all these Switch owners have managed to get theirs up and running.
Right,
but,
right. The PC version was delayed a couple weeks too. Yeah. That's not coming out to the 29th or something.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so I am really looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. There's a lot of nostalgia heavy lifting going on for me with Sonic, but I think the fact that it's fan-made is really cool. So with an eye to what, you know, what people want to see from the nostalgia of those games, but also with hopefully a critical eye on the stuff that makes them very flawed and needs tweaking in a 2017 context.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think this is the one I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Out of the two major ones.
Have you never played a Sonic game?
No, I've never owned one. I've only played them like at friends' houses when I was, like 10.
Right.
Really haven't played one as an adult, and I've never played one all the way through.
The first three, the original ones, really, I have such a soft spot for them, for the aesthetic and the music. Like, it's just real 90s kind of childhood sort of stuff to me. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm real interested to see if that game holds up at all.
Yeah.
It holds up. It's a new game, but like if that style
I think the first
of game...
couple of levels are kind of like remixed, and then I get the impression that the start of it is kind of them remixing old levels, and then they've kind of gone off into their own stuff. But I'm curious to see, because those games are pretty like, shallow, shall we say. So I'm keen to see what kind of depth they've put into it, like how much they've kind of, how long they've made it, and you know whether there's unlockables and you know just kind of how it all works. And like they've put in like all the bonus stages and stuff from the original ones, and they've kind of made them look the same as they did back then as well. So yeah, that's exciting. Yeah.
I guess it makes sense that this is the one I'm interested in if I've never really played it. Totally. I just want to kind of go in and play a good version of what it would have been 20 years ago.
Yeah,
Sonic Mania is sweeping the nation, baby. Dylan Berlin, Bay of Pigs invasion, Lawrence of Arabia, British Sonic Mania.
Nice.
Except very, very flat.
Well, speaking of that bit that no one wanted to hear, it's time to go into an ad for this month. We are, of course, this episode sponsored by our friends over at Loot Crate. Now, Ben, we were just all looking at the Loot Crate that you received.
Yes.
Last month's one, the subject of which was booty.
Baby.
So you tricked us. You said the theme's booty, and we went in there, and you were there with your trousers around your ankles, exposing your bare ass to us.
Peeking through a cutout Loot Crate.
Like a baboon at the zoo, just bright red, just thumping on it with your little hands.
Yeah.
And have I ever told you that story? I know we're doing it.
Here we go.
Have I ever told the story about
the time I got raped by a baboon?
My dad was at a zoo. He told me this story, so I can't tell you if it's true or not. He tells me this.
Okay. Yes.
And he was eating an ice cream at the zoo because he was a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah. I love this already.
You're at day at the zoo, have an ice cream. Yep. Make a day of it.
Yep.
And he was eating in front of a baboon, and the baboon did a gesture with his hand.
Yes.
Because baboons, they're primates. They're quite smart.
Yep.
And like, give me some ice cream.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad went, nah, mate, you're a baboon. I don't know if you can have any of this dairy. He was trying to be good to the baboon. And also being a bit smug about it.
Yeah.
And the baboon looked kind of disappointed and then went, all right. And he went and
wait,
he got...
Baboon went all right.
Well, he did like a shrug, maybe.
The baboon was so okay with not having any ice cream that he gained the power of speech.
Well, no, but he wasn't okay with it. It was like an all right, like
a resigned shrug.
Let's see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, and my dad says he went and got two female baboons and then fucked each of them in front of him.
Okay, but what did the baboon do?
Anyway, that's now just a story about man and animal interacting.
Okay. I thought the end of it was going to be something like, do you remember, it sounded like your dad was ripping off, do you remember that old Rollo ad where the little kid is there and the parade goes past and there's like a little baby elephant and the kid's got a Rollo and he offers it to the elephant and then he snatches it away at the last minute and then it cuts to the guy there as an adult and the same elephant comes back and
quickly,
beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, important to remember about elephants. Just before the end of that, I was going to say, remember a key trait of elephants is that they do not forget.
Okay, now let's go back in time and insert that where it should have been. up my sweet baboon butt.
Anyway, I thought that was going to be like your dad goes, then anyway, 20 years later, I'm back and the baboon was eating an ice cream in front of me. Who's the real primate?
You really did it. You blew it up.
Oh, yeah.
So
that one, a lot of good responses to that one.
Fuck, is that a... I'd love to know if that's a real story.
Yeah, that's
the
great.
The baboon, to spite your dad, rooting two female baboons and like, look at this, you dumb human.
Yeah, achieving the ultimate dream.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Baboon is smart enough to know that a man is going to be made very jealous of the idea of
being with two women,
sex, but also not smart enough to know, well, that's not appealing to me because I don't have any desire to root something of a different species to me.
But the baboon, anyway.
were you going to say the baboon would be like assuming that the man will be thinking about two human women?
Yeah, exactly.
Women.
The baboon, obviously the baboon is playing the equivalent.
It's an equivalent,
So this
is an analogy.
So the baboon thinks that your dad is there going, boy, I wish I was that baboon, and also that those two female baboons were female women.
Yes.
Right. Man, we've got to get that baboon on the show.
If you play your cards right, I've got a feeling he just might show up.
Come down to our next live show.
What a treat for the live show. So is this in Melbourne at the Melbourne Zoo?
Fuck, man, I don't know. I think it was the Chelsea Zoo in England.
Fucking shitty at me for just asking where the zoo was.
I think it was in Chelsea in England.
All right, we've got to raise a Kickstarter for enough money to fly the three of us to the Chelsea Zoo and then an extra $2 to get a paddle pop.
No, this baboon is long dead.
We've got to get a Kickstarter for a time machine.
Or a baboon reanimation technology. Okay,
yes, all right, I'll give you that. Or baboon reanimation technology.
Or you know what, get another baboon. I bet that they're probably all, you know, pretty much of the same ilk.
We could do a recreation.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Or let's just leave it there.
Be the envy of your friends and get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/filthycasuals. So August Loot Crate theme is Kingdom. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares and collectibles? Well, Loot Crate has it.
Can I just say,
yes,
Kingdom is what they call me. Move on.
Absolutely may not say that. Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming, unlike what Knox just said, which was the worst surprise that I had no idea was coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Mm. The Kingdom one is going to be cool. So the booty one, just to be serious for a scant minute.
Yes.
What did you get in there? You got a bunch of Uncharted stuff. You got a Crash Bandicoot. T-shirt that's pretty cool.
I really like that T-shirt.
Towel.
Yes,
they do good T-shirts.
Yeah,
they do really good T-shirts.
And that specifically, that one is it's like a tourist T-shirt. Like, oh, you're on a holiday, but you go onto the island of Crash Bandicoot.
Do you know what I thought was nice as well? With one of the, this hasn't happened before, but with one of the loot crates, they were like, there was a little note in it that said, "Hey, there was a problem with the production of the T-shirts this month, so there's no T-shirt in this box." But we're sending you and they sent two T-shirts instead.
Oh,
two T-shirts at the same time.
Yeah.
Doing it baboon style.
Oh, your dad must be really jealous.
I've been wearing them both at once just to show that I can.
You're really sweating.
Yeah. Dave, can I have some of that ice cream?
I need to
cool
down.
No, you may not. Well, don't put the second T-shirt on, son. I swear to God.
It's the ice cream or two of a thing.
One scoop or two.
What if I eat a toucan ice cream? You can't do it. It's the best of both worlds.
In August Loot Crate, you'll find items from The Legend of Zelda, Adventure Time, and The Lord of the Rings, three great franchises, and one lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that is it. It's over. And so if you go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the code filthycasuals.
Yes, you'll get $3 off any new subscription.
Great. So do that. A great way to show your support of the show.
Yeah, it helps us out.
Loot Crate
know
it helps us out. They're kind enough to, you know what? They're kind enough to inspire a riff about Adam Knox's dad being cucked by a baboon. And what could be more worthy of your hard earned dollar than that?
Oh, yes. We'll be clipping that up and sending it back to Loot Crate. Look what we did.
I'd love it if next month's Loot Crate theme is baboon and we'll be like, they listened, they knew. Okay, so moving on, it is time to talk about what we've been playing this week. Ben, Yes. Do you care to kick us off?
I'd love to, Tommy. I've been
Get the fuck off.
I've been playing a really good game. I just froze up and was like, how do you start sentences?
And it makes the praise seem like not very genuine when it's like you couldn't even remember what you were talking about.
It makes it sound like I'm making up this game that I've played.
Best thing I've ever played.
Bat. Man, like you're looking around a room at a cricket bat and a human.
Yeah, so I've been playing the first episode in season two of the Batman Telltale game.
Is it The Enemy Within? Is that what it's called?
Yes, but I think the first season was called that as well. So that it's just like the Telltale's version of Batman.
Right, right. Okay.
It's called Batman The Enemy Within, which is a psychological thing.
Oh, I thought it meant a small, maybe a virus of some kind.
Okay, a little man sitting inside of Batman.
The threat of communism.
Okay. So this is
you were a big fan of the first season. You talked about it a little while ago. This is just launched, this new season?
Yeah, it came out in the past week. Mm-hmm. And with the previous season, I was not a fan at the start.
Yep.
So the first episode, I was like, oh man, the writing's shit and it's all really obvious Batman-y stuff and it's like there's nothing interesting going on, the combat's bad and the controls suck. And then it turned into this fantastic story, really, really interesting. It just changed everything about what I knew about Batman as a character.
And what you knew about yourself?
Yeah, yeah. Two baboons at once. And it developed into a really good game. And we had Mark Bonanno on. Mm-hmm. The first time he was on, he talked about it with me and he loved it as well. And so season two has come out and it's kind of reset in the sense that the controls have been tweaked a little bit and they're not as good as they were.
Right.
The story is a little bit weak and I didn't enjoy it as much as the last episode of the last season.
But the first season took you a while to warm to.
Yes.
Yeah, so do you get the sense that the story seems weak because it's the first
Spidey
part?
Sense. Yeah. Fuck, wrong one, sorry.
Like if you watch the first 20 minutes of The Godfather, that's a shit movie.
Well,
you know what I mean? Yes, like you can't, that Batman's going to be the Godfather, but.
And also the first 20 minutes of The Godfather were still pretty good.
But it's not a satisfying film.
No, I'm going to die on this hill.
Okay, well the controls are terrible.
This is a weird coincidence. The first 20 minutes of The Godfather is all I've seen of The Godfather.
Oh, really?
I'm being completely serious.
And, what do you think
and I got to
it?
Say, not very good.
There you go.
Not a very good 20 minutes, bro.
Because that first 20 minutes gets made good, but with the context you get from the rest of the film.
Oh, wait, because the first 20 minutes is at the wedding, right?
It's
a lot of mucking around.
Yeah.
It's like that long shot of the guy asking for a favor.
Yeah.
It's just like
a lot of people dancing.
You don't even get up to the horse.
I just felt like I was walking down Ligon Street. Like just a bunch of Italians talking to each other. Nothing's going on.
Yeah, you know.
Development.
You know how in the first 20 minutes of The Godfather, people keep asking each other if they want to eat in this restaurant?
Yeah.
Hey, come on in. I hate it how they do that on that street.
And then at the end of $20, at the end of 20 minutes, you go and you pay $6 on a Monday to go and see Baby Driver at the Cinema Nova.
Oh, very nice.
That's real. We're going to name every cinema in the city.
Yes. I went to the Sun Theatre last night in Yarraville. Now, this is serious.
That's a fucking great cinema.
Now, it is. However, I've heard that for a long time. So for people, it's very old cinema in Melbourne. Yep. People always talk about it like, oh, it's this great cinema.
It's like a boutique cinema.
It's called the Sun Theatre because it's old enough that it was originally just shadows being played on the wall powered by the sun.
Okay.
It's a bit out of the city.
It's from ancient Greek times.
So I happened to be over that way. I went and saw a movie there. Very excited to go there.
Care to name the movie?
The Big Sick.
Uh-huh.
Very good film.
Yes.
I walked the entrance bit. Now, the entrance and everything else about it, it's a bit shit. Like, there's nowhere to sit.
Oh, okay.
The foyer area is just really kind of bland. Mm. And I'm sitting there going, why does this cinema get such a good rap? This is kind of shitty.
All right.
Then you go in there and the actual cinemas themselves have amazing seats.
Yeah.
Very nice plush leather seats.
Yep.
And they're all done. The cinemas are done up
the
really
architecture
well.
Is quite nice.
The architecture
nice. Yeah.
is great.
Yeah.
But I feel like I got kind of hoodwinked. Like at the start I was like going, why does everyone talk about this goddamn cinema? It seems really shit.
Yeah. Because
we got there really early and they just basically go, you can't come in yet. Go stand outside. Mm. Like there's nowhere for you to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the equivalent of judging a movie by the first 20 minutes or judging a game by the first episode.
Yeah.
You can't really take your first impression of something, say like the cover of a book, and judge the entire contents of the book based on that.
That's a great like analogy you've drawn there.
I wish there was a quicker way of saying it, but anyway. So Batman, like
I very much am holding out. Not holding out hope. Like, I'm just giving it time. Like, I assume that it's going to improve.
So we're just moving on from talking about the Sun Theater. Is that was it? I had some thoughts about the car park to share, but no. Let's move on.
When we get to the last episode of Batman Season 2, we can talk about the car park, what happened after the movie.
Do you need to have played the first season of the Batman
game? No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. In the way that it literally gives you all the choices that you would have made in the first season.
Oh, really? That's also kind of a bummer.
Also in the sense that it's kind of disconnected. It's kind of separate.
Well, because you can bring your save over from the first series with these games.
Yes.
And it remembers all the choices.
Right.
Yeah.
But so if you hadn't played it, you just go like, I would have done that, I would have done
that. But it is kind of a bummer to not give a bit of a bone to the... Because you would want to assume that the people... That a lot of people coming along are coming along because they liked the first season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but you wouldn't have that. So, yeah, what happens is if you... And I just didn't have my... account connected.
Right.
So it was like, hey, so this is the first season. Here's 9 choices. Make one, like choose one or the other.
Okay, right.
But if I had connected my save up, yeah, it would have just
all
come
of those
over.
Are already done. Okay, right.
It does, doing that does reveal how few choices you actually get to make
totally.
In the Telltale games.
That's the thing with all of these Telltale games. I've only ever played The Walking Dead ones, I'm pretty sure. And it's a thing that's a common complaint for people with these is that the choices that you make are sort of a little superfluous and the story's going to happen pretty much the same way either way.
Yes.
However, the way that they do make those choices seem to be effective or important is really effective.
Absolutely.
And if you suspend your disbelief a little bit and go along with it, it does work really well.
Totally. I played the entire first season of the Game of Thrones Telltale game and I was really hooked. I was really enthralled by the story. I was like, every choice matters. And I played the whole thing through to the end and felt that way. And it wasn't until I did some reading afterwards I was like, oh, okay, maybe that actually didn't mean as much. But in the moment, for 5 episodes of a game, I was absolutely invested.
Totally. You there's no point digging too deep into that stuff.
Yeah.
Because the net effect, the feeling of it, if you do just let it happen to you, is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, so with this first episode, it's all pretty good. Like, the Riddler is the villain. He's pretty interesting. Like, maybe
he's a crafty man.
Yeah. Maybe they could have made the challenges and stuff more complex. It didn't really feel like I was solving, the puzzles.
Okay.
It kind of felt like they just played out, and the reason that I would not succeed is because I couldn't press a button quickly enough.
Right. That sort of stuff is always pretty tedious.
Yeah.
Who's the villain in the first one? The Penguin?
There's a whole bunch of villains.
Right.
But the Penguin's in it. The Joker's in it. There's some other stuff as well.
Right.
So, so this one, it appears to be the Riddler, but then, there's like, maybe someone else is involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fine. Like, I just really do feel like, hey, I know that I love the first season. I'm sure this is going to build to a better game. I'm on board.
Yeah.
And it wasn't shit enough that I'm not on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And are they weekly now or?
No. I'm not sure the exact release schedule. Some of the Telltale games, it's like months in between.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure, they never really put their release schedule up ahead of time because they don't seem to really know.
Yeah, they tend to literally, like, they will rewrite the next episode based on the reaction to the previous one. So,
And they don't want to cop a fucking Sean Murray where they're getting anthrax in the mail because they delay it by a week.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
But I really like this model of, like, it's like a bunch of TV show episodes. It's different writers.
I think that's cool.
It's different directors, like it's an overarching style, but
I've been thinking a lot about what we were talking about with the Hitman game where it was coming out episodically, and I think that would be such a cool way of doing games where, like, I haven't invested enough time in them, but the Telltale ones I've never super been able to get into.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of, like, actual, like, games, like open worldy kind of stuff where they just kind of stagger the levels out, rather than something like the new 3D Mario where you get it all at once. I think that would be really cool if you just got it world by world. Like, I think that kind of model in something like that would be really exciting. I don't know. Like, it just would be such a different experience to have it timed in that way, and also everyone who's playing it be kind of, held up and – when the level we're all kind of going into it at the same time, I think would be really exciting.
It's like, I think we talked about it before, it's like watching along with a TV show as it is.
Yeah.
And it's that experience. Just weird, like the specifics of how it's done are really important, because like the Splatoon stuff I'm finding pretty annoying of only play this mode at this time.
Right.
So you've got to be like it's really down to the particulars of how you do it.
Yeah.
Or like if you fuck it as big as Valve did with the Half-Life stuff, you know, like if you can't actually deliver on all of it, then don't start.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Telltale, is they have a good track record.
Yeah.
It's almost like to do it ideally, you almost need to have the game done, like all made, and then it literally would just be something like a big 3D platformer where a new world opens up every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like there's heaps to do in this one, just thrash it out and then... Yeah, in 2 weeks' time.
Maybe.
I think that there would be a really interesting way of, and somehow building that into the actual mechanic of the game, that's somehow working in the game's world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that would be.
There's no reason it would innately be shit, but if you just took Mario 3D World and then it just had taken 6 months for that to come out, I think that would be worse.
Oh, sure. But I'm saying, I just think it would be an interesting challenge for a developer to undertake to kind of release a game in a different way.
Well, and having it.
I would be really into that, like playing it. Thrashing it out for the week and then going, oh, I'm kind of done with this. All right, I guess I'm a bit bored of this bit now. Like, I think it would be, then you'd drop off from it for a week and then come back. You know what I mean? Like that kind of staggering of it. Like, I think that would be a really interesting way of riding a wave of keeping people interested over a long period of time.
Yeah.
I'm sure certain people would hate that they can't just get it day one and go boom all the way through.
Yeah.
Which I guess the problem with that is eventually, once it's all out, well, then after it's been out for a year, people just can do that. So you kind of lose that effect a little bit. Mm. But, yeah.
Yeah. I'll say there's a couple of changes with the mechanics of this particular Telltale game. They've introduced something. Like, you know, the classic thing of Telltale is this character will remember that.
Yeah.
So you do something that obviously affects how they will treat you in the future.
Like a bunch of Rollo elephants.
Exactly. Or a fucking baboon or whatever the thing that was going on there. They've added... your relationship with X has changed.
Ah, right.
Which I guess in effect is the same as X character will remember that. But it's something that people have brought up, and I was like, well, it has the same effect on me in that it's like, well, I guess I have to be more aware of what I've said to that character.
Yeah, that just seems like a phrasing thing.
Yeah, but like so with the Batman games, obviously a big thing was like, well, this is an action franchise. Like, this is an action story. The story progresses through action, but it's tough to do engaging action in Telltale because it's just like press left, press right, press up and triangle. So what they've done in this one is actually different. There is still a lot of press left to dodge, but they've introduced the choice system to the combat. So it's not just choosing to say fuck you or I agree with you. It's in the combat.
Batman's always going fuck you
in combat as well.
Fuck you.
But now it's like, instead of like, you can choose to pick up a chair and hit him with it or kick him out a window.
That sounds sort of like Heavy Rain.
It's closer to Heavy Rain. Yeah. Yes, but so that's within these pre-planned combat set pieces.
That's cool.
So it is better than just going left dodge, left like right dodge, up triangle punch.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff is simple as well. You're not coming to that game looking for combat mechanics.
Yeah, it at least adds that illusion of choice into the combat as well.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I don't want to be too negative about it. It's just like it's not as mind blowing as it was at the end of the previous season. So yeah,
I think that's what the little bit I tried to play of Wolf Among Us is the combat and the just pushing a button kind of frustrated me. Like, I wish that they could either jump into you doing actual combat, even if it was extremely simplistic and like old school Double Dragon style, just mash buttons, or just not write fight scenes into it.
Or
like
fight scene is a cutscene and you just...
It just kind of annoyed me, where it's like, if I'm going to be able to play a little bit of it, I wish I could just... Because your character is like wailing on this guy. It's like, I wish I could have the satisfaction of actually feeling like I'm doing this and then drop out of it again.
Yeah. So jumping onto that, if you're happy to move on.
Yeah, totally. I'd give it 3.5 melons out of 5.
Wait.
On the con...
Yes.
So the... I've played... And Tommy's played this too. I've been playing Hellblade.
Yeah.
Senua's Sacrifice or something?
Senua's Sacrifice.
Right. Blade, Senua's Sacrifice. Terrible yes. title.
It's not a good one.
Absolutely, maybe one of the worst titles of the year.
Yeah.
In that, so this game came out, a couple of weeks ago or something?
This week, I think.
Very recently. Yeah. Had heard nothing about it. Just all of a sudden, a bunch of stuff started popping up about it. A couple of people, mate, messaged me about it.
Yeah.
And I just ignored everything about it. The most generic, just boring sounding title, like the most nothing sounding title that, yeah, just seemed so easy to kind of ignore. So it's developed by a studio called Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
And they describe it as an independent AAA title.
So Ninja Theory made that Devil May Cry reboot and Heavenly Sword, I think.
Yep.
For the PS3. And so, yeah,
So this is it's a digital only game.
Right.
That their whole 30 bucks. Yeah, their whole kind of thing is like let's make basically an independent game that is priced accordingly, but is still made by a major studio with kind of the feeling of a major studio game that's just a little bit shorter.
That's what they've said.
In theory, yeah.
In Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. So like just what you were saying about the let me do the combat.
Yeah.
Even if it's simplistic, it's still more satisfying. Maybe it fucking isn't.
Well, great point. So, okay, let's set up what the game is. So you play as a Senua who is a Viking who
Is she specifically a Viking? That sort of era. It's from that time and that area.
Kind of vibe. But she's trying to bring, is it like her husband or something or boyfriend or?
Well, so she, all you know at the start is that she has like a head in a bag and she's trying to get okay. The game opens with you're canoeing down a river and some credits start showing up. Before the game even starts, it says this game, depicts
psychosis.
Yeah.
So you're on this quest to kind of go into like hell or whatever it is whilst being plagued by visions and voices that are brought on by your character's psychosis.
And eventually this caused by trauma.
And like you go through bits where when you die, it's like there's bits that are never quite clear if it's psychosis or if it's really happening. But there's this whole thing of this plague that's in your head kind of spreading. And you get threatened very early on in the game of like if the plague spreads across your whole body, it's like a permadeath thing. Yeah.
Essentially,
you have
limited lives.
Yes.
Is what
it's
doing.
Yeah. Right.
And apparently that isn't the case. It just says that.
Right, okay.
To freak you out. And so like when you're canoeing up, the very first credit that shows up
is
psychological director or something like that, or consultant or something like that.
So this is clearly like the angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
is why it's been getting really great reviews. It's been getting a lot of good write-ups for the fact that it's dealing with an issue like this in a game full stop, let alone a game like this. A lot of people seem very wrapped with that and think that's really interesting and really great.
Yeah.
Nox, you and I have been playing it over the weekend.
You finished it. Yeah.
I think I'm like maybe a quarter of the way through. I do not like it at all.
I had to fucking force myself to finish it because I knew that you wouldn't.
I was very relieved to see that you had, because this is the thing. So I go into this, you know, having heard all this great stuff and going, it's always kind of exciting when you go into something where you go, this is going to knock my socks off. You know what I mean? Yeah, that really
kind of come out of nowhere. It's like, great, awesome, new game.
I'm about to find my new favorite game.
Yeah.
And I the start of it, I was a bit like okay, just kind of waiting for it to kind of kick
kinda
on.
Pick up,
and then it sort of never did.
And it fucking doesn't.
Yeah. and so I sort of started going, something must be it because all these people have said it's amazing. I don't know what I'm missing. I must not have gotten to the bit yet. And then in a video games group that we're all in, a friend of the show, Dave Callan, started teeing off on it.
Mm.
And then you chimed in as well, Adam. And I was like, oh, okay, thank God, because these two guys have articulated what I'm feeling about it but haven't been able to kind of put into words. And it was a great relief to see that. I was just going, but this seems like it's objectively a good game, I'm not getting out of it.
I like, so I dislike to hate, dislike from dislike to hate. Not yes. that I hate to dislike. Anyway,
yeah.
From the ranking of dislike to the ranking of hate.
The name of your emo band from high school, from dislike to hate.
Every single aspect of this game.
Yeah, right.
Every single element of it.
So a lot of it, the way that Psychosis is depicted is a lot of voices that kind of talk to you.
I want to read this quote real quickly. This is Michael Breyers from PlayStationLifestyle.net. This is just from the Wikipedia page of it, but this is just... he said, by working closely with neuroscientists and those unfortunate few who have been diagnosed as psychotic, Hellblade carefully avoids those cheap half-assed tropes that render a character insane and therefore woefully one-dimensional. Not only does it act as a disservice to those who suffer with mental illness, his practice of painting in broad strokes only minimizes the room for nuance, but Senua's sacrifice boldly cuts through the white noise. I think completely the opposite of that.
The criticisms that he brought up are accurate for Hellblade, like... The minimizing of the seriousness.
Yeah. I don't think she has anything going on.
Every single character in this is completely bland.
Yeah.
All of the depictions of Psychosis, though kind of possibly relatively accurate, particularly mm-hmm. the voices. I remember I've done a thing where it's meant to be emulating schizophrenia specifically,
right.
Where you hear all these voices and they're all very negative, and that's what she goes through.
Right.
And you hear them in different spots and they're whispering close in your ear if you're wearing headphones and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the writing for it... and the way that it plays out in a cinematic sense and every story beat is so poorly done that it does cheapen all that shit.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
It really doesn't – it's treating itself so seriously and like it's doing such a good job. So if you're going to come at it with that, you have to be judged at it for having said that about yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it doesn't do a good job of that in my opinion.
Right. It's hard to comment on because I haven't suffered from this, nor am I close to anyone who has – but it seems like, it's just such an obvious and on-the-nose portrayal of it and there is no nuance to it. And I hate all the act. I don't like the acting in it.
No, right. And it's got this fucked thing where every character other than Senua and like the bland enemies that you fight, FMV, their video of real people acting.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And it looks so tacky. And there's something innately silly about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because of the connotation that it has specifically in video games of like...
The red alert.
Immediately think of...
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looks like an old 90s thing where it's like, there's a video in this.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that the actual environments and stuff, they look great.
The Unreal Engine is good that it uses.
Yeah.
Every piece of art they've made for this game doesn't look that good though. The character designs aren't very good.
Yeah, she looks a bit...
The general style, because I watched the trailer the other day in anticipation of playing it and it was like, well, this looks like a bland version of God of War or something.
Totally. So a big thing for me is I'm not into this kind of stuff at all. Like this kind of imagery and this kind of mythology stuff does not resonate with me. And this kind of fantasy, like olden-y sort of stuff, I just have nothing for it. So immediately I'm at a disservice here.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe
with
if you
me.
Like all this kind of lore and stuff, then you probably...
It does with me. The only thing I liked about the game is occasionally you will find these like hidden runes that give you little bits and pieces of like ancient sort of Nordic mythology.
Oh, right.
So the thing I liked about the game was... Wikipedia shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So like Nordic is like Odin and Thor and Loki and all those motherfuckers.
Ragnarok.
So which I am also interested in.
I liked hearing about that stuff. I fucking hated that system though of having all these hidden runes.
Right.
And just always looking over your shoulder for trying to find this dumb hidden thing that doesn't really help. And it just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. Once you strip away the thing of the psychosis and that being kind of the angle of it and what people are really into about it, it's just a really bland game. There's all these elements where you have to open doors by, there'll be a shape on it, and then you have to look around to the environment to see where those shapes are recreated. So it's like these two trees that are falling against each other and you have to match them up and you use your kind of focus, like vision to unlock it. And then... But you just do that multiple times and it's just not that interesting.
It's incredibly boring.
And then you...
That's the biggest word for this game is boring.
Right.
Yeah, and then you get into these combat sections and the combat took me a while to work out. But even then, you know, the worst thing you can have in a game is where... You just feel like you're mashing buttons and it's not always connecting in the way that you want it to. Like it just...
Yeah.
You don't get any kind of gauge of how much... damage you're taking or how much damage your enemy... It just,
right,
you,
not
you just,
really.
You just feel like you're really stabbing in the dark, and you also start to feel like, can I actually die? Because there are a couple of parts where you die and you go, oh, I fucked it, and then it turns out you were just meant to die in that bit. Which kind of is like, well,
this is
how am I ever meant to know what the stakes are?
And right. Yeah, I didn't have that same criticism with the combat. I found it too easy. I had the opposite thing.
What kind of combat is it?
It's sort of like a very, very slow-paced version of Devil May Cry or something like that.
Okay, so like a kind of hack and slash
but
beat 'em up.
Literally, your dodge is... You immediately dodge anything really easily.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it compared to Dark Souls in a very simplistic kind of way.
Very, very sort of, but only right. in the sense that you're swinging a sword.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not
swinging
really,
a sword and dodging and blocking.
It's so fucking simple and bare bones and boring as fucking hell.
Yeah.
It is just... And that the whole game is so slow.
And, but
the movement
is
of your character is so fucking slow.
Yeah, right.
The movement of the story is so slow.
Yeah.
Every single cutscene is so poorly paced and acted and written.
Yeah. Someone like described it to me as being treating it more like a walking simulator in the vein of like Firewatch or whatever.
I would have loved that.
That just happens to have these bits of combat in it. Right. And maybe for me it's like, yeah, but I was into the character in Firewatch and I was into the story and what was going on.
And the visuals.
This,
and
I just
all that.
Don't give a fuck of anything about it. So that's not enough to get me through.
Yeah.
And
just how slowly it's paced as well. It's a hobbling simulator, you know? It's not a walking. It is just laborious, every single moment of it.
Right.
And then, the way that the story is done, I think, is really ham-fistedly and a little manipulative.
Yeah.
To have you to come out and say, no, we talk to people who have these mental illnesses.
That's it. I mean, the fact that that's in the opening credits, like, that really rubs me the wrong way because, I've talked about this heaps recently, you know, in regards to Binding of Isaac and in regards to No Man's Sky. The thing of, like, how the game is made, like, that the fact that they talked to mental health professionals, you shouldn't be leading with... I shouldn't need to know that to get enjoyment out of the game.
Yeah.
It should just be a compelling part of the game. And then if I like it enough, I go and look it up and it's like, oh, that's an interesting foot. Oh, they actually talked to people.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I swear.
Why, but they, it's literally the first credit you see. They just want so much credit for having done this extra work.
I am positive that if they hadn't have said that stuff right up front, people would have criticized this game for its depiction of mental illness.
I was going to say, like, that's the thing. Anyone who has any experience with mental illness of any kind is like, there's no single version of it. You can't pick, like, well, here's how it is, so let's do a game about it. Anyone who suffers any kind of whatever they're depicting, psychosis, schizophrenia, is going to be like, they have totally got this wrong. What's going to happen.
Well, and it's an emulation of it. It can never be an actual depiction of it. But then you're doing an artistic emulation of it. And I think they've just done an ineffective one of those.
Here's what I wanted to talk about, because I think the issue of addressing mental health issues in games, and also I'm very aware that, I don't suffer from any extreme condition like that. I'm not... You know, like I don't have experience with dealing with this in real life.
And
so
it's
maybe, you know, my opinion is invalid.
And
however,
I want to quickly point out as well, if someone does and you disagree with this, and I'm willing to listen to that. Because,
totally,
like,
yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But just from
mark,
a personal level, in terms of addressing these kinds of things in games, I'm always open to learning more. I want to, like, I'm interested in any kind of stuff like this. So I'll read a book about it. I'll read an article about it. I want to see a documentary about it. I want to see it depicted in TV, and I want to see it realistically portrayed in movies. I just don't think I ever want to play it in a game, because I don't think it's the kind of nuanced approach that really talking about something like that and really shining a light on it really those kinds of issues deserve.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like all it's ever going to be is a gimmick to make people go, hey, it's a game where you experience what depression is like.
Yeah.
You know, those people make those little flash games and it's like, okay, well, cool. I got to the end and I learned a bit more about depression. It wasn't a game. It wasn't a fun game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not that you've an obligation to make a fun game. I'm happy to have an interactive experience or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not fussed by
but
being
just,
in the medium.
I just feel like this thing of trying to feel like, not trying to feel like, but for me, I mean, I guess I'm putting it out to the listeners because I'm happy to be proven wrong where an issue like that being at the forefront of a game or being a big part of the character kind of affects the gameplay in a way that actually makes it part of the game and not just something like this where it's like, this could just be set in hell as a justification for seeing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't change it one iota. I mean, yeah. I would think maybe a more interesting way of doing something like this would be, because with this game you hear all these voices from the very beginning of it. Maybe an interesting way of doing something like this would be, you know, you do like a first level or something and there's nothing, and then when you're right in the end, something of the level, something kind of kicks in abruptly, and
yeah.
maybe the way that you control slightly changes. Like, but this, because you start off from that level, there's no stakes with the psychosis kicking in because it's there from the very beginning,
yeah.
and it's so extreme from the very beginning, it never really builds up and it never really resonates and it never makes you go, oh, fuck, this is happening, because yeah. it's just there and present the whole way through,
yeah.
which I guess is the point, but the point that they're trying to make about it is just lost on me because yeah. there's no yeah. stakes.
I think as someone who suffers from what seems like an expanding list of mental illnesses, an ever-expanding list, I just want it to be dealt with in a non-superficial way.
Yes.
If it's a unique individual's perspective, so it's yeah. like an auteur game,
mm.
or it's one that, yeah, does the research but does the writing as well.
Totally.
Like it yeah. has to be portrayed. That's basically what I've been trying yeah. to say, but you've summed it up way more eloquently. Yeah, just not superficial. Yeah.
I think what might yeah. have been more I think the big failing with this game is that the protagonist is so underwritten
yeah.
that you'd never empathize with her.
Yeah, right.
She's defined by the fact that she has psychosis. Completely. That's all right. that you ever
and
get out of her. I think that's
which
a
is an well, insulting thing to
yeah. throughout
do,
the
yeah.
game, you uncover what the causes of her traumas are and stuff like that, and they try to do something about expanding her more as you go towards finishing
but
it.
But maybe it would
but
be
it never
something...
Connects.
But maybe, this yeah. is my point. Maybe it would be more effective if you did, if there was a section of the game that you played at the start that's like a prologue where you, is prologue beginning?
Yes.
Prologue.
Yeah,
prologue.
Yeah.
Where you play as her
prologue
before.
Prologue is when your ass falls out of itself.
You play as her before all that stuff's happened, so you get some context of what it's like.
Well,
before.
You know what? Like,
think
of a game like The Last of Us. Like, that is a character losing their child
yeah.
and then dealing with the world ending.
Yeah.
And so it's not like a literal depiction of mental illness. It's a depiction of grief
and,
yeah.
and it's
and
a
processing
character,
grief
primarily.
And it's a character.
But
that's
the difference
what would have been
is
more
you
effective
play,
with this.
But you yeah. play through that. You play yes. through that beginning bit
yes.
so you're connected to it from the start. Whereas this, the other thing about this is it makes you discover that she has that. So you know you have this kind of rolling bit at the start,
but also like,
which yeah. I think undermines the point as well.
And it's what they've done, in my opinion, is a cheap and quick way of getting to this.
Yeah.
Where the effective way to do it is to make you empathize with a character who's going through these things, and effectively get you to you know, relate to that character more so than just like, this is a very fucking shortcutty way of doing that.
Yeah.
Where rather than making you understand her mental state in a personal and
in an emotional way,
way, they've done it by going like, oh man, she's seeing some shit that you probably don't see.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were, I just think it's so one-dimensional and so...
Yeah, when you do have the opportunity to explore their inner life, it's just going like, here's the symptoms.
Yeah.
So isn't that weird?
And it slowly kind of tries to show you what caused that trauma. But every character is so poorly portrayed and written that you don't connect with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel bad saying that, like, and this.
Well, I mean, but also but when like you say you don't connect, you don't connect with it, because it is worth pointing out as far
I'm talking
as
about myself.
As far as yeah. all the online reviews go, we are in the minority.
Yes,
so,
but I think this is suffering from the same games critiquing problem that a game like Spec Ops The Line did.
I was going to bring that up,
where
yeah.
it is the bar is so low
yeah.
for video games
yeah.
that people overdo it when they think something is tried to
that's
do
that's another
something
one that dealt with
yeah.
mental
it
health
was meant to be
stuff?
PTSD
yeah
and
yeah. that's
it was
why I was
fucking ham-fisted.
I was thinking about that Spec Ops The Line and like, well, what's my criticism of that? It's superficial.
Yeah.
It's a blockbuster action movie version of PTSD.
Totally. It's apocalypse fucking now, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this.
Yeah,
this game is called Hellblade.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's got this shitty fucking combat system. It's got these terrible fucking puzzles. Every element of its construction as a video game is poor.
Yeah,
and then every element of its construction of this layer that it's tried to fucking self-impose onto itself and brag about.
Yeah,
and that's kind of gross that it's come at it with this position of this being a marketing fucking technique.
That really, when I saw, because I kind of, I read that and I was like, cool, but then the fact that it comes up in the opening credits
it's a little tasteless.
It's fucking South Park starting with like, hey man, we might offend you, but what's up? That little thing. Yeah. It's that, but saying like, we're talking about mental health, so this is a big deal.
So you better give us good reviews.
This is basically something that you said the other day, but it's like, yeah, we brought in these experts and then the depiction of psychosis is... She hears voices and sees things.
Yeah.
Thank God you got the experts in for that. That's that's literally like,
where is the nuance in that?
It's like interviewing 100 people who do clowning about their experience and then your clown character has a red nose and curly hair.
Yeah. You don't feel any of it is the problem. I said that to a friend
today who loves this game and he said, that is the fucking dumbest thing you've ever said. And I said, you know what? I'm saying it on the podcast tonight.
Yeah. I was incredibly bored by it and just like the acting feels like year 12 drama solo. It's the choices they've made with how the puzzles work, how shitty the combat is, and then how regular both of those things are.
Yeah,
the hidden fucking collectibles being the worst type of that, where they're arbitrarily hidden around these levels. Every single fucking element of this game is bad. You can absolutely skip it. 5 out of 5.
I'm giving it one melon out of 5 melons on the Conifrutera scale. And you know what? I'm going to jump ahead. I don't even need to wait 1 week on the Bare Naked Ladies scale. When we check in, the lights are going to be off on this one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I would be interested to hear about, like, or to see in articles and shit.
Personally, having not played it but heard this, I'd like to know, not so much the articles, because I can exactly see how they would end up being positive. They would have to be, in a way. And I'd like to hear listeners if they played it. Yeah.
From the point of view of purely a game trying to do... To tackle issues like this, 100% good on you.
Right.
We'd also like to know
are there any examples that the listeners have played before of games that have taken on a mental health topic and done a good job of it? I can't really think of any off the top of my head, but if you've played one, even if it's just an indie or an online thing, then let us know, because I would be interested to find one that does something in a way that I don't find superficial and that you can get something out of even not having that kind of personal experience of, and makes you understand a little bit more. It's because it's such a hard line to walk to make people understand who don't have any connection to it, but also make it feel kind of, you know, accurate and respectful for someone who does have experience with
totally
it. Like, how do you tread that line?
I will say that in terms of like games tackling issues like this, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare does a really good job of exploring the gross effect that the military industrial complex has had on our society. Not deliberately, but it does that.
Well, I'll say this because the aforementioned thread in the Facebook group I was talking about, a friend of ours, Johnny V, got in and...
Not my brother. Not my brother.
Not
Ben.
Your brother. Got in and recommended, which by the way, we should give him a quick shout out. He worked on a game called Death Squared, which is out on PS, Xbox, and Switch recently. I've played a little bit of it, but not enough to say anything really substantial on the show. But I am enjoying it.
Hasn't stopped you in the past, mate.
No, it's a good game. Check it out. Sweet. I'm hoping to play it a bit of co-op of it to be able to actually say a bit more on it. But he recommended, in terms of like a game that's like a bit unset, like people were sort of saying, sort of shitting on this and going, it's a shame because it looked like it could have a good kind of unsettling kind of vibe to it and all that sort of stuff. He recommended a game he's been talking about for a little while, but for some reason no one in that group has followed him up on, a game called Little Nightmares, which I kind of read that today and was like, oh, you know what, it feels like a bummer to come in here and just shit on a game for half an hour. Like, I want to, you know, try and have something positive to say about a game.
Not me.
Oh, and you know what, just very quickly, the other thing is, I mean, maybe part of the thing with Hellblade is I played it only to be able to talk about on the show. Like, I have a couple of games on the go at the moment that I'm enjoying a great deal.
Yeah.
So I don't really – it wasn't like – maybe if I was like in a position where I was like, you know, had a big gap where I was really searching for something to play, maybe I would have gone in with a bit more leniency. So I kind of was on the back foot from the get-go of just going, man, I wish I was just playing Cave Story right now.
No, but I was totally open-minded going into this and hated it.
Well, but anyway, so today I started playing Little Nightmares.
I'm talking about this podcast.
Oh, okay.
I started playing a game called Little Nightmares, which has been out for a little while. And it's pretty crazy that none of us have gone in on it because it is extremely similar to a game called Inside, which I believe was in all of our top fives at the end of last year.
I don't remember five, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really, really similar style of game to the extent where it's kind of like the person who made it, it's as if they were obsessed with Inside and also they saw the bit in the first Toy Story where they go into Andy's fucked up neighbor's house and got extremely traumatized by it and kind of combined those two things together. So it's where it kind of has – you can sort of move up and down. So it's kind of like 2.5 dimensional where Inside is just you going left to right. You can kind of move around the plane a bit more.
Yeah.
But it still is just left to right. Like it's for every now and then you can kind of snake up through a corridor or whatever. But you're basically – yeah, you're a little kind of orphany kid, kind of very similar tone and atmospherics, but more sort of like fucked up creatures that kind of come out of nowhere. I played it today during the day and I'm genuinely looking forward to getting home now that it's night and playing it at night because it's really unsettling.
Nice.
Similar puzzle mechanics, like everything you liked about Inside is there in this, but it doesn't feel too much like it's aping it, like it has its kind of own enough different kind of visual stuff going on to make it not just feel like a retread. And also, it's not like heaps of games are sort of doing that similar thing to Inside. So I was just happy to be back playing a game like that that felt similar in style.
Yeah, because when you brought it up today, my reason for not playing it is like, I didn't really know much about what kind of game it is.
Mm.
And it kind of looks a bit Tim Burton-y. But more that I think about it, like the Tim Burton of like your Nightmare Before Christmas is good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That is a good, visual style.
There's a guy that's chasing me around in it at the moment that sort of is like, looks a bit, Tim Burton crossed with the fucked up bits of Toy Story.
Yeah.
Crossed with like a, what's his name? Freddy Krueger. He's got kind of a Freddy Krueger-ish kind of look to him.
Right.
But just really interesting kind of monster design where it is genuinely really upset, unsettling. Mm. And the one thing about it is that some of the mechanics of the depth and stuff where you jump to get on a bit and you fall just because you can't properly kind of see what the angle is. And for some weird reason, when you climb up ladders and stuff, the grab button to like pull doors open and to climb onto walls is the R trigger, which just seems really unnatural and keeps fucking me up
because
why would it be that button? Like I keep forgetting that it's that button.
Yeah.
But that's a thing that I'm more than happy to overcome, and it's a rare thing where I play a lot of games purely for this show and I sit down and I go, okay, I've formulated enough of an opinion about this to talk about it, but this is like I'm really looking forward to, and I believe you can do the whole thing in like 5 or 6 hours, so I'm looking forward to setting aside the 11 hours that I'll need to complete it. But yeah, I can't reckon, especially for the two of you, if you can get the time, I really reckon you should go in, because if you everything that you liked about Inside it almost could, if you told me the same people had made it as a sequel where they've tried to beef it up, it just feels like that.
What are you playing it on?
PS4.
Great.
Yeah.
And what would you give it out of 5?
Man, at the moment, I think I'm like an hour or two into it. Oh, man, at the moment, it's a 4.5.
Great.
It's really, really enjoying it. I hope it kind of pays off as it goes on in a similar way that
If we're going to do rating systems, we've got to have finished the game before we do them, don't
that's
we?
That's,
we
why the, that's where the bare naked lady scale comes in.
Yeah. You get to confirm your rating after you've played it.
Okay.
More.
Oh, that's look, the whole point. I'll get back in, but just at the moment, just initial kind of thing.
That's the thing.
At least it takes a dramatic turn into being.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. So, little spoilery thing. Early on, you're kind of running along, and your character kind of stops moving as quickly. It's grabbing its chest.
Yeah.
And then you go past a bit where there's like a window and like into like a drab kind of cafeteria looking thing, and there's a woman there with some food, and she throws you a bit of bread, and so you grab that and you eat it, and then you can properly move along again. And then you go on a little bit further, and it starts happening to you again. So you instinctively know, fuck, well, I've got to get something to eat. And then there's a little bit of food in a cage, and you eat it, and the a big hand comes out of nowhere and slams the cage shut, and then you wake up and you're in a big, you know, holding cell with all these other little those kind of little, you know, these little things that it teaches you. And again, it's similar to Inside in that there's no tutorial, push this button to do this. You're just kind of in it, and the story or whatever is going on is just kind of unfolding around you. So you're as in the dark as the character.
Yep.
I'm in the dark here.
It's Al Pacino. Yeah,
really good. Really, really good.
Great.
Sick.
Mm. So I've been playing a game as well. Came out a little bit longer ago than Little Nightmares.
Mm.
It is what I think now is definitely my favorite of the Assassin's Creed series, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Mm. And the reason that it is that is because it has all of the stuff that the earlier Assassin's Creeds had that was good. All the climbing, the platforming, all that stuff, the controls are quite good for all that stuff. It has a great environment, great characters, good design, all of your like combat stuff. You've got a couple of swords, a couple of pistols, a whole bunch of different outfits. That's all great. It's all taken that stuff from the previous Assassin's Creeds and done it really well. And you're a pirate and you have a big ship and you upgrade your ship and you do ship combat and it's fucking awesome.
Right.
Like, I remember kind of like being a like younger and really liking this kind of shitty Pirates game called Pirates by Sid Meier, and really just being like, man, imagine if there was a game where you just got to play as a pirate. Like, you just got to do all of it. You got to sail around the Caribbean. You got to go to whatever city you wanted to dock in. You run around the city. You fought people. You got gold. You found treasure. Like, it's just got all of that.
There was a Pirates of the Caribbean video game that was originally going to be a separate pirate game called Sea Dogs, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just got the license but didn't put anything Pirates of the Caribbean in it.
That's great.
And it was kind of buggy, but I remember that being exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
And it was around the time Morrowind was out.
Yeah, so okay.
It was like that and Morrowind. I was like, I could explore the world now.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead of doing that, I didn't go on a holiday for the last 10 years.
So why did you not go in on this when it first came out?
I did.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I'm going back in. It's on the PlayStation 4. It looks like it's been remastered. I don't know if it just came out recently enough that it
definitely has.
It just looks really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cheap on the PlayStation Store, and I bought it again. And I don't know that I ever finished it when I first played it. But because I remember the start of it being kind of like the worst possible intro to an Assassin's Creed game. So it's like, you're in a big situation, you're in a fight on a ship, and then you get stranded, and then you just got to like climb around palm trees chasing this one guy.
Mm. Right.
So it's like, oh, fuck, this is the worst kind of Assassin's Creed mission. And then you eventually kind of come to like a pirate town, and you like start the story going along. And then even then, there's like three missions where you're just like tailing people. And it's like, well, if you get seen, the mission's failed.
Right.
It's like, fuck, this is like brutal. This is the worst of this Assassin's Creed kind of like design. And then it moves on, and then you get a ship, and then you become a pirate, and you just kind of like start sailing around doing stuff, upgrading everything, having little side stories. It has the stuff from Far Cry of like hunting and upgrading.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has the absolute freedom of like, yeah, the whole map in this Assassin's Creed game is the Caribbean.
Right.
There's like 10 cities, like 15 smaller towns. You can just kind of do anything
you
want.
That's a Caribbean. 10 cities and 15 smaller towns.
But in terms of like an Assassin's Creed game, there's usually like 3 cities.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's just, it feels like you have a lot of freedom, which is a good thing for a game to be able to like pretend that you have.
Yeah.
So has it made you more interested in A, the new Assassin's Creed, and B, that pirate ship combat that game that Ubisoft are doing?
A, yes, and B, no.
Yeah, right.
Like, I honestly, like, the way that this takes care of that stuff is, like, your crew is automated. When you, like, have ship battles, it's, you know, it's a ship battle. You're controlling the ship. You're shooting left to right. There's barrels you can throw off. There's other things. There's chain shots. And then when you board, you just jump on and you're doing, like, really good fluid Assassin's Creed combat taking over the ship.
I like,
so I can't imagine it being done better, really.
Yeah, right. I've never played this one, but I do like, I remember seeing that your ship guys sing little sea shanties.
You can pick up new sea shanties. You can unlock sea shanties. Like, it just has all of that. What has been in other Assassin's Creed games, tedious collectathons, it makes them all fun because it's like in the context of being a pirate.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, fuck, this works really well.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, that's still considered to be like the peak of that series.
Yeah. Also, the framing...
It's free on Xbox Live at some point too, so I have that.
Yeah, right. It's worth trying if you like any of the Assassin's Creed games.
Right.
Yeah. The framing in this as well is still... It still shouldn't exist, but it's the better version. So the framing device of this is that you play the start of the game, you're in the game, you're a pirate, you're playing around, then you come out of it and you're a games tester for a virtual reality video games company.
Okay, that's I hate this.
Lame. Yeah, that's which, fucking lame.
Which
I
thankfully
quite liked all the future story stuff in the first
one. See, I much prefer this. At least this is like, yeah, you're just playing a game. Like,
but the story was getting interesting in two. In Assassin's Creed 2. And then it went right off the fucking... Like, they fucked that story up, but it looked like it was going somewhere good at one point.
I disagree. I only ever put up with that story.
The whole thing where it was like, but the world used to be future world,
yeah,
and there's
and there's an apple, and it's like
and then that woman makes
thing.
Direct eye contact with you at the end of 2.
Yeah, I
was fucking sick.
I just...
Someone looking at me in the eyes. Finally.
See, I didn't like that at all. But no, personally, I just never connected with that story, and I just wished that it wasn't there. And at least this, there's no pretense of a story. It's like, yeah, come and play this.
You're just in it. Yeah.
You sit at a desk and you're like, hey, maybe your ancestor was a pirate, so here you go. Yeah. Play this game.
I'm pretty sure they've said maybe Desmond's back in the new one.
I've heard
up for that. If they do that story well, then it's just a good story in a game.
I guess
too.
That's, yeah. Yes, sure. So, I just don't think they ever did.
In the second one, they did. That's official.
I disagree.
No, it's
entirely.
Official. Oh, also, I just want to really quickly say Hellblade has one of the worst endings I've ever seen.
Okay.
To the point where the first part of it made me yell out, fuck you, in real life.
Oh.
Now I'm kind of tempted to finish it.
And then the second part of it made me laugh out loud.
Oh, wow. Oh. What a treat.
I'm going to show you it on the TV after this.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, really?
All right.
Oh, okay. Well, should we wrap this up?
I think we need to.
I guess so, I just want to say, like, for people who got sick of Assassin's Creed and didn't play this version, this game, it's really fucking good. It's not just a good Assassin's Creed game. It's the best pirate game that's ever been made.
Yeah,
so
cool. Great.
If you're at all interested in that, give
Other
it a
than
go.
The Monkey Island games. The Curse of Monkey Island.
Yeah, Secret of Monkey Island I liked a lot, but this just plays into, like, I love the freedom of running around rooftops in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And this has that, and you're a pirate. So it's fucking great. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
All right, we'd better wrap that up for another week. So filthycasuals.com.au for all the information about our bonus episodes, past episodes and stuff are on there. And pretty soon we're going to start putting a bit more content onto that site, a bit more written stuff.
Yep.
Some cool stuff happening in the bloody machine.
Yeah, a few things in the pipeline that I guess we'll be talking about next week.
Yeah.
So next week, we will be talking about the update to No Man's Sky that came out this week.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play it, and I think Noxy's going to try to as well.
We'll review Sonic Mania,
we'll
probably
be talking Sonic Mania, and I feel like there's maybe one or two other things coming out.
Nidhogg 2, I'm looking forward to.
Oh,
Agents of Mayhem comes out too, which I'm not sure if I'm going to get around to.
Right.
But that's by the people who did Saints Row, so I'm kind of interested.
And then the next 2 weeks after that, we have Uncharted The Lost Legacy is out, and then the week after that, the long-awaited Mario Rabbids game.
Same
which
week as that.
I'm very excited
about.
Yeah,
that's the same week.
And then Destiny 2.
I don't believe they are. I think
I am 100% sure they are.
Yeah.
I thought Uncharted was...
They will both be on the same podcast.
August 22?
They will both be on the podcast after next week for us.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. What date is Rabbids out?
Before the 30th. That's all I know from looking at this.
Okay.
But because of the way we're recording for the next couple of weeks, yes.
Okay, sure.
We'll both be on the same
way. Cool. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Fuck Hellblade.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.